All right. If you were to pick a symbol that represents Easter, now just think about that for a second. What is the one symbol that represents Easter the best? I think I have an obvious answer. Clearly, it's giant bunny, right? How did this ever happen? Giant bunny representing Jesus Christ coming down to earth and dying for the sins of mankind. How is that possible? You want to know how? I researched it. German Lutherans came up with this idea of the Easter hare. And the Easter hare watched children before Easter. And the good ones he gave candy. And the bad ones he went into attack mode. So that's one. The other obvious one is eggs. Chocolate-filled eggs. How do we come up with that? I like them. I'm happy to have them, but how? There's an idea that some people have. It's not a bad one. Is that an egg looks like a dead thing, and then a chick can come out of it. And so the kind of the idea of resurrection can come from that. The one that we haven't mentioned, of course, is very obvious, right? Anybody want to say it? The cross, right? And the cross is the single number one most recognizable symbol in the entire world. And their earrings and their necklaces and their bracelets, that symbol is placed in more places and is tattooed more places. Okay, who's wearing a cross tonight? Somebody wearing a cross. Okay, who's got a cross tattoo on your lower back? Yeah, huh, Mason. Wow, I didn't expect that. I don't want to see it. Lots of different symbols, but I've got one that maybe you haven't thought of that I think is even more representative of Easter. And to show you, I would like a volunteer. Is there a kid? I need a kid. Right? I need a small, you bring one of you. You just came up last week, man. You were just something. You want to come up? Yeah, right there. You on the end. Yeah, come on up. You got that? Yeah. Oh, okay. Either one. I don't care. Either one. Either one. You decide. Are you both coming up? Okay. That's fantastic. Come on up. Come on up. Okay. You stand right. Do you have whiskers? And you have flowers on your. That's the cutest thing. Oh, what's your name?
Olivia.
Olivia, and you are?
Viola.
Viola, okay. I've got something for you right here. Okay, here we go. Who wants the first gift? Okay, come on over here. Right there. All right. Okay, and here, you ready? You ready? Oh, look at this. Look at this. This. All rise for the queen. There she is. How do you look? Okay. Okay, ladies, I need you to bow or curtsy or do something royal right now. Thank you, ladies. You can go have a seat. You sit down. That's it. Les, you want to give the message? I got my notes right here. Do you know that the word death and resurrection is used 35 times in the New Testament? That's a lot. You know it's used 129 times in the Gospels. Kingdom. Over and over and over and over and over it's used. When Jesus came down to earth, he came to establish his kingdom. Now, some people would give a more vague answer about Jesus. When Jesus came, he came to give wisdom, or he told us to love each other and care for each other. No one gets crucified for saying things like that. Jesus came to establish a kingdom. John the Baptist introduced Jesus like this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Then Jesus came on the scene, and his message is the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Then Jesus gave his first sermon. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Practice my words, and you'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. He tells us to seek first his kingdom. When he sends out his disciples, he tells them to proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. When he tells stories, they start like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed in his field. And the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. 10 parables start like this. And the last thing anybody said to Jesus before he died was from a thief on the cross. And he said, remember me in your kingdom. His disciples asked Jesus, who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? This is what Jesus said. He called a little child to him, and he placed the child among them, and he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, if you're a kid here in this room, right now, turn to your parents and say this, Jesus said I'm the greatest, okay? Okay, if your kid just said that to you, turn to them and say this. If you're so great, clean your room. Hey, look, there's no question. If you read this book, it's not an egg and it's not a bunny. It's not a cross. Interesting. Do you know that a cross that was never worn in the first 3 centuries? Because anybody who had ever seen a crucifixion would never wear one. The symbol is a kingdom. Jesus came to establish his kingdom. You see it over and over. Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. So let's talk about kingdom. Let's talk about what is a kingdom in the biblical view. A kingdom in the biblical view is this. It's the place in your world where what you say goes. Your kingdom is the range of your effective will. And we all have little kingdoms. Anybody ever hang out with a two-year-old? Two-year-old's favorite word is mine. I've got a grandbaby who's 2 years old. Her favorite word is not mine, it's tithing. But your grandkid, I get it. Mine. These toys are my kingdom. Has this ever happened to you? You're driving down the road in the station wagon or the minivan, and there are two kids in the back seat, and one of them draws a line down the middle. They're establishing their kingdom. And then those kids start fighting. I mean, your children, not mine. They start fighting. They're arguing. They're battling back and forth. And so dad speaks up and says, don't make me come back there. Why? That's his kingdom. And if they don't listen, he sends back Mr. Hand to get them. And they dart to the side so they can't be reached by Mr. Hand. I had a friend who said this. I don't think you should do this. But he says, a little tap on the brake brings them back into play. There's all kinds of kingdoms. A kingdom can be a recliner. That's dad's chair. A kingdom can be a kitchen. Some of you are... they're the master of your kingdom. When you are in your kingdom kitchen, you're Gandalf. None shall pass. For some of you, over here, your kingdom is your bedroom. Ooh, Dad, don't walk in my bedroom. You have to knock. There are other kingdoms. An office is a kingdom. Dad's den is a kingdom. A minivan is a kingdom. Thou shalt not eat French fries in my kingdom. Let me explain to you what Jesus meant. It's in his first prayer, Matthew 6:9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means all honor to God. To put it in today's terms, God, you're the man. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus said, my kingdom is coming, what he was saying is this. What is in heaven, I am bringing down to earth. What I have in heaven, the way things are in heaven, in my kingdom, this is the way it's going to work. But now, we know that in a lot of this world, that's not the way. Jesus' way is not the way that kingdoms are run, right? It's different down here. For example, down here, if you make a mistake, you pay for it, right? Anybody ever get a speeding ticket? Yeah? Do you have to pay for that? All right. Yes. Anybody ever judging? Like the people, you just judge the people who put their hands up? Right? You make a mistake, you pay for it. Anybody ever steal a cookie and you're not supposed to have it? You pay for that. I saw Ricky's hand go up. That was recent. That's the way it works. Down here, you make a mistake, you pay for it. And it's ugly down here. And you just have to flip on your TV, and it doesn't matter what time of day. And you can see ugliness. You can see murder and fire and global warming and arguing and nation rising up against nation. That's the way it is. That's the way this world is. And Jesus says, I'm bringing heaven down. And I'm going to do things different. Instead of you serving you, you're going to find great joy when you serve other people. It might be ugly down here, but God can bring healing to your hurt. And I've told you this before. That greatest area of your life, the biggest hurt in your life, can be the one thing God uses to make the biggest difference in the lives of people around you. That divorce, that addiction, God can heal it. And now you're part of the healing process with other people. And here's the most important thing about Jesus bringing the kingdom down here. Is when you make a mistake, you don't have to pay for it. Somebody else pays for it. How did he pay for it? Well, we got a couple more symbols. What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him, they shouted. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they all shouted all the louder. Crucify him. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged, and he handed him over to be crucified. And the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the Praetorium. And they called together the whole company of soldiers. And they put a purple robe on him. And they twisted together a crown of thorns, and they set it on him. And they began to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews. This is what his crown looked like. And they took thorns. This isn't nearly thorny enough. And not only did they take the thorns, they put it on his head, and then they shoved it down so that it bled. And then they took purple cloth. Why purple? Well, it's a sign of royalty. And they wrapped him in it to mock him. the God of this universe, the God who came down to heal you, the God who came down because he loved you, the God who was willing to sacrifice everything he had for you, stood silently as the crown was placed on his head and the purple robe was wrapped around him. And he was mocked over and over and over. He got a robe, got a crown for his kingdom. He did all of this so that he could bring his kingdom to you. That thing that you did to hurt the people around you the most, he would speak forgiveness to. That mistake that you made that you can't forgive yourself, he forgave. Those wounds that you got growing up, he can heal. He's bringing his kingdom down. Now there's a problem. You know what the problem is? We want to run our own kingdom. Right? Some people works their kingdom. You just work, 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 work. You want to work, you want to make money, and you want to be settled. And I get it, right? Like we all want to feel that security. And so you pour yourself into work, and you work really hard, and that goes well. But your marriage and your kids, not so much. Because you put so much time into that, that this thing, this part of your kingdom suffered. So you make your family your kingdom. I'm just going to pour my life into my little ones, and they're so great. And when they're three, they run to you and they hug you. And when they're 13, they don't. They run away from you and they hide themselves in their room. Do you know why they do that? They're evil. No. They're 13. You were 13. You didn't want to hang out with your parents. And you poured all your time and all your effort, and this was your kingdom. And it's so heartbreaking when that happens. Or maybe you're on the other side. You're the kid, right? And you don't want mom and dad ordering you around. So you decide, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a success. And you go to school and you invest your time. You get into a good school and you graduate. And then when you graduate, there are no jobs. And you got a college degree and you're a barista. Nothing wrong with a barista, but that wasn't your plan. When we put all of our time into our kingdom, we poured so much time into this part of the kingdom, another part of the kingdom gets broken. So what does Jesus say? Let's look at the Lord's Prayer again. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're the man. You are God. You're everything. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Do you want God's kingdom to come into your life? It's four words. Four words that need to be introduced into your life. Four words. Your will be done. Not my will be done. Not my kids' will, not my wife's will. God, you're in control. I put you in charge. You have the last word. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. So I got a question for you before we go. Who here today needs to give up control of their kingdom? Stop striving. Stop trying to be perfect. stop trying to control all of your children. Stop working. Work hard. Bible says work hard. But stop working to prove yourself. You don't need to prove yourself. He's proven it. He loves you. Who here needs to give up control of their kingdom? So here's what we're going to do. I just had this idea, and it might not work. But here's what I want you to do. Bow your head. I want you to think of that part of your world that you need to speak these four words into: your will be done. And I want you to, if you can, say it out loud. Like, in my family, your will be done. Or at my work, your will be done. And if it's too intimate, too embarrassing, that's okay. We don't need to hear it. But just say out loud, your will be done. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to be brave. Yeah, you too, introverts. You can do this. Just bow your head. Into my daughter's life, your will be done. In my striving, your will be done. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came down to earth to bring your kingdom here. Thank you that we don't need to stay broken and hurt. Thank you that we don't have to be unforgiven. Thank you, God, that we don't need to live with regrets. That you came down to earth to bring your kingdom. And I pray, God, that in the nether reaches of our hearts where we're hiding things that are hurting us, that your will would be done in those areas. Me too. Lord Jesus, thank you for bearing that crown and that purple robe and that cross for us. In your name, amen.